On the October 4th edition of WINA's Best Seat in the House, Jed talked with former Virginia Athletic Director Terry Holland. Holland, the current athletic director at East Carolina University, talked with Jed about the upcoming UVA-ECU game and other things.
He is the one, the only, the good friend of the Best Seat in the House, Terry Holland, back with us on the Casella's Hotline. Coach Holland, always great to catch up with you. It's a general question because I know life is very, very busy, but how is life in Greenville right now?
Well, Jed, you hit the nail on the head. It is busy, but that's true of everybody in college athletics today. There's a lot going on. It's a very competitive business. One of the analogies I use is that if you took the 100 fastest people in the world and put them on a four-lane track and said the first 20 across the finish line will get paid $2 million a year, and the last 20 will be fired on the spot, and the middle 60 will be told, hey, your job's in serious jeopardy, and we may just buy out your contract if we can find someone better. That's the kind of pressure that I think most of our coaches and athletic administrators feel today. So can you imagine when that starter's pistol goes off, there might be a little elbow and a little jockey in the position.
Yeah, a little bit of urgency.
That's what we're all doing. We're working hard at trying to position our program so they can be successful.
Yeah. How do you feel about your overall programs, the overall welfare and health of East Carolina Athletics 2 years into your tenure?
Well, you know, we've made a lot of changes, and I think most of those changes have been for the better. They were not all forced changes, but we have 10 new head coaches. We have a new executive director of the Power Club. We have a new external operations guy, Jimmy Bass, who we stole away from an SEC school. So we feel very good about the people that we've got and the chance to move ahead, both on the field and in the other areas that are important. And let's face it, today your competition is not just on the field, but you're competing for media attention, you're competing for corporate dollars and everything else. So, again, it's just a highly competitive environment, and we need to be positioned with the best people in the best spots, and I think we're getting there.
Terry Holland is with us. You know, Coach Holland, you've built athletic departments, successful athletic departments, in several different places up and down the Eastern Seaboard. When you get to a school, maybe more generally, and we'll talk about the specific ECU challenges in a second, but when you get to a school and take the reins of an athletic department, in terms of building, what are the first priorities that an athletic director has to look at?
Well, I think people, having the right people in the right spots, and that doesn't mean you have to make wholesale changes. It just means that you need to make sure people are doing the jobs that they're best at, and you hopefully don't have to actually release anybody. Sometimes that's necessary in the coaching situations, but ideally you'd like to be able to move people around and just, like you would coach a team, put the players in the positions where they have the best chance to be successful. And that's what we've tried to do at every spot. And to be honest, Jed, I get a lot of credit for things that have happened at the schools that I've been at, but the real key to success is always surrounding yourself with the best people you can find and people who want to work hard, who want to get ahead, who want to be successful themselves. And I've been very fortunate in that regard to have some wonderful people around me all my life supporting me, including my family, obviously.
Sure.
Who makes things happen.
When you went down to Greenville, what did you realize was unique about sort of the fabric of ECU athletics or the culture in Greenville, North Carolina? Maybe some of the challenges that are specific to that particular school.
Well, we had been distracted, and mainly by the Big East overlooking us and taking particularly South Florida instead of East Carolina out of Conference USA to go into the Big East. That hurt, it stung. I think that also that for years East Carolina had been fighting the concept that you can't be successful unless you're in a BCS conference. And, you know, conventional wisdom would say, yes, that's true. But Utah did not accept conventional wisdom, and not only did they go to a BCS bowl, but they won the daggone thing. And certainly TCU goes to Oklahoma and wins last year, and no teams would be more advantaged in the case of Oklahoma and disadvantaged in terms of TCU as a private school in a non-BCS conference, being able to go and win against a BCS team. So I think, you know, we got distracted. We forgot who we were. We started worrying about, well, our television market's not big enough. That's why the Big East didn't take us. And I said, guys, wait a minute. Let's control the things we can control. Let's think about who and what we are. Let's be proud of what we are, and let's be the best we can at what we do. College football is not about media markets. Look at SEC. Look at the Big Ten. Almost all those institutions are located as far as they can get from a major media market.
Right.
College football is all about passion. It's about fannies in the seats. And East Carolina can do that. Again, we have We've got a stadium that's probably a little bit big for us. It hasn't sold out very often. In fact, we had our sixth biggest crowd here against West Virginia and had another great crowd in our opening game against Memphis. So hopefully we'll have another good crowd against Virginia, and, you know, we'll continue to build on that base. But we got distracted. Our attendance went down. We were 3-20 over two seasons before Skip Holtz came in. And, you know, a lot of loss of confidence, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Right.
And distracted from the focus of who and what we are. We were letting other people determine what our potential could be rather than deciding that for ourselves.
I love the way you put it, reconnecting to the fan passion of college football. And when I look at East Carolina's schedule, TH, whether it's this year or in the future, I see regional series of what I would say are great appeal. Virginia Tech, Virginia, West Virginia, NC State, Navy. How critical were series like that and establishing those connections throughout the region to reconnect to East Carolina football passion?
Well, I think that's critical. You have to play. You know, our fans were tending to blame the News and Observer for not covering us better, the Charlotte Observer for not covering us. And I said, guys, if you want them to cover us, we have to play games that are significant to those areas. We can't just continue to play who we want to play.
Yeah.
We've got to play games that other people care about. And thank goodness they're also the games that our recruits, our basic recruiting area, cares about, and that our fans want to see us play. So let's go out and play those people. And we were fortunate to get some good home-and-home series that really position us very well for the future. In the old days, your non-conference schedule could be used for whatever you wanted it to do, mm-hmm. either to pad your record or to be able to have a national profile. And your regional rivalries were covered by your conference schedule.
Right.
With the expansion of conferences, we're seeing right here in North Carolina, NC State and plays Duke and Wake Forest, and the same with Carolina. They only play those schools, I think, four times over a period of 10 years. Well, that's
wow.
A lot of games that are missing from those old-time rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is try to fill that spot with our non-conference schedule. And essentially what we've said, and you know, it'd be very easy for our coaches to say to us, well, that's going to make it real tough for us to get to a bowl game, because those four non-conference games we're playing are games that will be very tough for anybody to win. I mean, like, you know, this year we had West Virginia, we've got Virginia, we've got NC State on the
right.
road, and we had Navy on the road. And those were four teams that not only went to bowls last year, but they won their bowl games. So
mm-hmm.
we're calling that sort of our own bowl championship series.
Yeah, right.
We've also got Tulsa coming into play this year. They mm-hmm. were Liberty Bowl champs, so... You know, we've got a really good schedule that is competitive, and we just said, heck, why don't we just schedule our own bowl games?
Mm-hmm.
So the games we've got scheduled are all close enough for our fans to travel, even when we play away from home, and we have a great fan base. We must have taken close to 10,000 people up to Navy for
wow.
the game in Annapolis. So,
hmm.
you know, I think this will be a good rivalry, not only for us, but it'll be a good rivalry for Virginia and Virginia Tech and for Navy and the other teams. And it's always been a great rivalry that fills it up. For example, the year before I came, East Carolina played North Carolina. Both teams were 0-5, and they played in front of 44,000, sold out,
wow.
added some seats in the end zone
mm-hmm.
to cover it, and North Carolina won the game. But, again, two 0-5 teams playing each other instills a great deal of passion still. It's the old throw the records out the window when these teams get together.
In terms of the Virginia-East Carolina series, let me make sure I have my facts straight here. There's the game this year, and then there's a return at Scott Stadium in 2008. Is that right?
That's correct.
Do you see it going farther than that, TH?
Well, we talked about a lot of different things. We'd like to, and I know Virginia would like to consider it as well, if we do continue the series, to play some games in Charlotte, because what we found is that we need to be in the Charlotte area. We like to be there for recruiting purposes as well as media coverage and everything else, fundraising, and everything else we do is impacted by playing in Charlotte. And I think recruits love playing in an NFL stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So we found that to be a good situation there. We are playing Virginia Tech in 08 in Charlotte, and we've got
okay.
some other games that are on the books to possibly go into Charlotte. We have played West Virginia in the past in Charlotte. We'd certainly like to play some of the SEC schools
mm-hmm.
in Charlotte if we could make that happen. And again, it is a great recruiting area for all the schools involved. is also a great recruiting tool to be able to say to kids we're going to play in an NFL stadium.
Is there a sense of timeline in particular with the Virginia series of trying to get that done and getting things confirmed in the city of Charlotte?
Yeah, but it will be down the road now because we're full up through 2011 and maybe even through 12. Because as we got into it, the Tech series, a chance to play them nine straight years.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing four times in Blacksburg, once in Charlotte, and four times in Greenville. So that was a great series for us, and that ate up, obviously, 25% of our non-conference schedule.
Certainly.
Any time we can play North Carolina, North Carolina State, we have to take advantage of that. We've got the ongoing series with WVU as well. So right now we're trying to figure out how we can squeeze all those teams in, much less look at what we're going to do with Virginia in the near term. But we'd certainly love to continue the series and find a way to make it happen, even if it has to be down the road.
Yeah, Terry Holland's the athletics director at East Carolina, good friend of the show, with us tonight on the Best Seat in the House. Coach Holland, let me ask you two final things. I'm going to ask a leader, you, to evaluate another leader, Skip Holtz. When you brought Skip in a couple of years ago, what told you that this was the guy with the vision and the ability to sort of be the beacon for East Carolina football?
Well, you know, as crazy as it sounds, Nick Floyd, my senior associate, and I were going through all the people that we thought were candidates, and we had Skip sort of down the line. He had some head coaching experience. We wanted someone that had head coaching experience. We wanted someone who had been able to compete at the highest level, and, of course, his tenure, and both as a player and as a offensive coordinator at Notre Dame, were years in which they won a national championship and competed for another one. So we felt like he had a lot of the things we were looking for, but to be honest, we were sort of soured by the experience of the last couple of years there at South Carolina.
Right.
And when we interviewed him, we were really doing it almost as a practice to see how we do together on an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So we interviewed Skip and were just absolutely floored by his personality as well as his knowledge of the game and the way he approached things.
So what started out as a practice interview became a winning interview for Skip Holtz.
And I think sort of the same thing for him. It was more like, well, let's see what East Carolina's all about. And then he came down to visit and, you know, saw the facilities, saw the potential here, saw that there was a lot of work to be done. And the thing we liked about him as well, not only is he enthusiastic, he's a very positive thinker, very motivational speaker, very similar to his dad, except Skip looks like a ball coach, too. You know, Coach Lou doesn't necessarily look like a football coach.
No.
He is a great football coach, but
right.
He doesn't necessarily look like one. Skip looks the part. He's 6'3", probably 230, and looks like exactly what you would want your football coach to look like,
mm-hmm.
and he acts like it as well. So, and once he visited, he and Jen came in, and they sort of took a liking to the East Carolina community, and he said, I came in sort of with a let's just at least go up and see what it looks like, Jen. And by the time I was leaving, I was knocking on the door saying, hey, Coach Holland, what do I have to do to get this job?
Wow.
We sort of warmed up to each other,
mm-hmm.
and it's been a perfect match for what we needed here.
TH, one final question. There was an article, I guess, in the Reflector.com, a publication a couple of days ago, in which you talked about graduation rates in the NCAA at the Division I level. Not just rates, but what we're doing with student-athletes to get them to that graduation rate. And does that sort of go back to it's not just about the results here or what the final grade is, but how we're, quote-unquote, playing the academic game?
Yeah, I think it is, Jed. I really am apprehensive about the NCAA continuing to ratchet up not only the initial eligibility standards, but to continue to expect higher and higher levels of performance from our student-athletes unless we're going to do something to truly help them. And the thing that I really focus on is we miss a lot of class. Football misses the least class of any sport. But there are 365 days in a year. How can the NCAA say to our youngsters, graduation is your most important objective, and then schedule NCAA championships during their graduation ceremony?
Right.
The actions speak so loudly that the words can't be heard. And we continue to do that in every way. So if we really do want to improve graduation rates, let's make sure we deal with the systemic problems and say, okay, how could we do a better job of scheduling? And I know it can be done. I mean, I coached 16 years in the ACC, and we rarely missed a class during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
We'd leave at 1 o'clock on a class day, be back at midnight after playing in Durham or wherever in the ACC. Then on weekends, we would play NC State in the afternoon on a Saturday, get on the plane, and go 1 year to Ohio State to play, and the other year to Missouri to play. Mm-hmm. So on Sunday afternoon. So we didn't miss any class.
Yeah.
But it can be done. It's just a matter of setting your priorities and deciding these things are important, and if we're going to say we want our kids to be successful academically, we've got to back it up with action. So
yeah.
Say what you mean and mean what you say. That's real simple to me.
Right. That's my final quick follow-up question, Coach Holland, is are we closer to making progress? Do you feel like when you create this steady drumbeat that people are listening to you and maybe more willing to invest in changing this process?
No. Everybody's so worried, and that was one reason I decided to get back into athletics. I was on a retirement track at Virginia, is that I was sort of sniping from the sidelines, and I said, well, let's get back in the fray, and at least you'll have some credibility rather than just being someone who's out there sour grapes talking about what should be done.
Right.
I think everybody's so worried about paying today's bills and maintaining their competitive position that they are not thinking about what we should be like in 10 years. And it doesn't mean that we have to change everything today, but we have to be willing to speak up and say, well, we can't do this right now. I think a year of residence is absolutely essential if we truly want these kids to be serious students. And that means coming in, spending a full year at the school before you're allowed to represent that institution in competition.
Mm-hmm.
We did it in the old days. It worked out well. It would work again. But it would be expensive, possibly, or, you know, and everybody says, when you mention it to coaches, particularly basketball coaches, I think football coaches would be for it. It would essentially mean redshirting everyone.
Sure.
But you know, basketball coaches will say, well, I need my freshman next year.
Right. Right.
Come on, guys, we're not making a decision based on what's good for next year. We're right. making a decision based on what's good for the long term. So, okay. Let's say we can't do it right now. We can't afford to. But at some point in the future, we might not can afford not to do this, to do these things that are right for the kids who are literally paying the bills today.